Here on Trophy Whores, we like to get a little weird sometimes.
Fluffinutter.
You are listening to Trophy Whores with your hosts, Tricky Mick, Alex, I Yield to No One,
Steve,
and Troy.
Everyone, and welcome to Trophy Whores. I'm your host this week, Alex, and Yield's kind of a jerk because he threw me off during the initial countdown. I said, as we always do, countdown from five, meet me at three. Guess who starts counting at four? It's this son of a jerk. I yield to no one.
Yeah, I did. I don't know what I was thinking, but I went with it.
You always like to mess with people. Like, you love to mess with Tricky during the intro. Like, he'll say blast off after he counts down, and there'll always be that little pause that Tricky has because he doesn't know how to react or what to say.
Yeah, well, to be honest, I wasn't trying to throw you off. I just honestly just started counting.
What the hey? Why not?
Yeah, why not? But hey, like a true host, you went with it.
Yeah, and, you know, like you said, why not throw that out there? Why not go buy Bully and Manhunt, which are on sale on the PSN right now for the 5,000th time?
Yeah, why not?
Flash sale. You know, Bully was such a really good game. I am actually tempted to play it again because I did enjoy it when it was on the PS2. I don't think that's a game you can ever make a sequel to, but like the idea of being in a prep school and just going through the day-to-day life of a kid there, kind of, you know, just having to deal with teachers and responsibility and other kids, like, to have that actually be an interesting game, like, kudos to Rockstar, because, you know, being known for making Grand Theft Auto and all that, and then you make a game at a school, it's like, is this really a good idea? Should we be doing this? But yes, it was a very good idea, and it turned out very well.
I actually missed that game. I did not play that. I played Manhunt, but I did not play Bully.
Of the two, you should have played Bully. I did play Manhunt as well. I mean, at the time, it was like a super, like, it was a very novel idea, and I will tell you, when I got to the point, and I'm not even going to say spoilers because this game is so old, but when you get to the point where you are going up to the director to go after him, and you actually are, like, in Pigsy's lair, like, I could hear that, like, I knew what was coming, but I was so freaked out that I would move so slowly, and then when I finally heard the chainsaw, I just did a 180 and just ran as fast as I could the other way. Like, that was actually very tense for me, like, going into Pigsy's lair and knowing what was on, like, in there waiting for me.
Nice.
We watched The Meg last night, and it was kind of like that. It's like, you could tell the moments in the movie where the shark was going to show up, but you still had, like, that tension, because you're like, okay, it's coming. It's coming. It's still coming. Oh, there it is. Did you ever see that, Yield?
No, I didn't. I was kind of two minds about it because it's got Jason Statham in it and I enjoy his movies, but I was like, I don't know, a giant shark.
It's exactly what it needs to be. It's a creature feature and I enjoy creature features. They're not like, they're not going to be your Shakespeare in Love. They're not going to be your high dramas. Well, they're not going to be like your cinematic masterpieces, you know. Thespians aren't going to be talking about Megalodon or The Meg, you know, hundreds of years from now. But it is a very enjoyable movie. I would put it up there like that in Rampage. I would say both of those are just these big creature feature movies that are just entertaining. They're not even really bad. They're just super entertaining.
Well, as long as they're entertaining, then that's all you need.
Jaws was a great shark movie, and I don't think it'll ever be eclipsed because of who was involved with it, and just it's just a quality movie. But The Meg, it satisfies that itch. You go in, you're like, I want to see a movie where a giant shark just destroys a lot of stuff, and that's exactly what it gives you. So Jason Statham, I mean, he's kind of like a very one-dimensional dude. And actually, The Meg kind of reminded me a lot of Deep Blue Sea, except instead of Thomas Jane as the shark wrangler, it's kind of Jason Statham. But he's kind of got this one-dimensional, like, one-note kind of guy where there's not a lot to him as an actor, but he fills this role perfectly.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, we got it from Redbox because I'm not paying $30 for the DVD, but you should definitely see it. I mean, if you're a fan of shark movies, I would definitely recommend it. I enjoyed it more than, say, The Shallows, which was still, I mean, it was good, but I enjoyed the Megalodon, or the Meg. Need to focus on the brevity there. I enjoyed the Meg better than, or more than The Shallows, which is a movie that got a lot of praise once it came out. So it's not Shark Week, so we are officially talking way, way too much about sharks. What we need to be doing is talking about our updated trophy counts, and not really a whole lot has changed from last week. I think I got one trophy in Overcooked, which, by the way, listeners, I need to get two more trophies in Overcooked. I can't beat the game on my own. I've gotten to the sixth world in the game, and I cannot progress any further, and I need to get 3 stars in every kitchen. So if anyone can help me with that, I would be very grateful, because I've got 2 trophies sitting there that are unearned, and it's bothering me, and I want to get them. So if you can help me with Overcooked, please let us know. So, updated trophies for the week, pretty much the same as last week. Turkey is a level 39 with 9,734 total trophies and a platinum count of 116. Still not near Sid, whose trophy count is probably a bit off this week because, according to us, he hasn't earned a platinum at all, but we know Sid probably has 10 more platinums than he had last week.
At least. Sid's
level 35, total trophy count of 7,988, and a platinum count of 139. Whooping Tricky. Whooping all of us, really. Yield, what is your trophy count for the week?
A level 27. Trophy count of 5,613. I didn't gain a trophy this week. I have been playing some games, I just didn't earn any trophies. And a platinum count of 86.
All right, and I am level 31 with total trophy count of 6,806. I believe I earned 1 trophy, so that'd be 1 more to tack onto the agenda here. And I have a platinum count of 100 platinums in 99. No, excuse me. We didn't change that from last week. 101 platinums in 100 games. Got the triple digits on both accounts there.
There you go.
Steve is level 15 with a total trophy count of 2,089. And a platinum count of 11. So we're not really moving the meter much this week with our trophies.
No.
So you said you were playing some games. And, you know, as always, we want to let people know what we've been playing. Yield, what have you been up to?
So, I spent the last couple of days playing some Everybody's Golf. I'm kind of in that phase right now where I'm just kind of like, well, what do I want to play? So I fired back up some Everybody's Golf. Did an international. They got an international tournament going on right now. So I played that course. I didn't do too bad. I got 10 under for 18 holes.
Here's the funny thing, though. You talk about like going back to Everybody's Golf and Rocket League, but don't you have like a huge backlog of games you need to play?
I got a huge backlog of games I need to play, and I just added to that Black Friday and Cyber Monday.
But you always go back to, like, the same 5 games that you've already beaten.
Yeah. Funny, isn't it?
That backlog is never going to get cleared up with that attitude, sir.
No, it's not. I also played some... fired up Rock Band for a little bit one night. And you know, rocked out to that. And honestly, that's been about it. Played a lot of golf and a little bit of Rock Band. I was going to dive into some Rocket League today, but I just got wrapped up in Everybody's Golf today. I was on a roll.
You're living life in the fast lane, sir.
I know, right?
Rock star, part-time golfer. Sometimes you are a soccer player, driver, if you will.
I'm living the high life.
You know, I'm going to be honest. There's nothing better then turning on Rocket League after you haven't played it for a few months, maybe 6 months, and then going and playing at the Aquadome. Because, hey, we talked about the Meg and giant Sharks earlier, but the Aquadome in Rocket League, like, I love playing the games there because the setting is really cool. Like, I think it's the best arena they have. And seeing, like, the giant manta rays and the fish swimming, and then the shark will just fly over, and it's like, hey, I'm playing an underwater dome.
That is pretty slick. Speaking of which, there's an update. I believe it's, well, it'll be this past Monday. But there's an update on the 3rd for their, it's either an update or information. I think it's the update. But about their winter update that they're doing, where basically, kind of like for Halloween, where you earn candy corn. For winter, you earn snowflakes, and you get holiday-themed items for your car.
I need to do that, because with the Halloween one, like, the there were a few things that I really wanted that I actually could not purchase, because I didn't play... I played the game just enough to get to finish up the club trophies, but I didn't, like, get enough candy corn to get everything I wanted. So when this event starts, I need to get on it and actually play it so I can get the things I actually want.
I will send you a message when it starts, because I'm thinking about doing that too. That I think they also said they're getting ready to do a second season pass or a rocket pass, which, you know, we talked about that last week where I was like, well, I think I might go ahead and sign up for it. That way I can get what I, you know, get the freebies, not freebies, but get the items that I would have earned had I been a Rocket Pass member. So I thought I had, see, until that Monday, I come home and I'm like, all right, I'm going to check this out. Or I think Monday. Anyway, the day I checked, I missed it. I should have done it when we were done recording. So it's like, oh, well, I may have to invest in the next one. But we will have to fire up some Rocket League during the Winterfest? Something like that.
I saw that Riley and Homer had mentioned something about wanting to get together and play Rocket League, and you mentioned about joining my club, and that way we can all just go and absolutely destroy some people online.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Now, I'm going to start a little bit of shit-talking here, see if I can stir the pot some. Between you and Homer, who is better at Rocket League?
Me. Hands down.
There was no thought that went into that. No, that was just like an automatic reaction.
Absolutely. And it'll hurt him, but he'll admit it.
So Homer essentially needs to get good.
Yes. Yes. He has gotten better. We play a lot when the guys come over. And he has learned the value of center field. You can get a lot of goals if someone plays center field. So.
You said he's gotten better. You make it seem like he started out in like the basement. Like he was on the level of a kindergartner trying to figure out how to use the PlayStation 4.
Well, to be honest, when you first start playing Rocket League and you play against people who know how to play, this was pointed out by a buddy of me. Rocket League's about like a bunch of little kids playing soccer for the first time. And Rocket League is the same way. When the ball's going down the court, everybody just rushes to the ball. So your best bet to get a lot of scores initially, and even when you're playing against good people, is to either communicate or realize that if everyone's going to knock the ball in the corner, someone needs to play center field, so that way if the ball floats in front of the goal, someone's there to tap it in. So.
That's when you start in Rocket League, you're just basically like a dog or a cat or something chasing around a ball. Like, you're just trying to touch the ball at all times. But as you go on, you learn that you have to pick your spots. You have to know where your team members are, because if someone is going up the side and they're centering the ball, you need to be in the middle and you need to be ready to strike.
Yep.
Because if you're just following the ball, you're not going to do very much. All you're going to do is just cause chaos. You need to know where all your team members are, and you actually need to pick your shot, because you can't have two people setting up the ball or have two or three people going for the ball trying to set up and then no one in the middle of the field or actually to take the shot on goal. And that's what I feel like is very... I can't think of the word, but it's basically me playing. It's not a hard game to pick up, and it's not a hard game to understand, but I feel like in the beginning, like everything I did was just fruitless because I was just chasing the ball like it was a shiny object, and I was distracted by it every time I saw it.
Oh yeah, it's hard to do that, and I was the same way. You know, ooh, ball, I gotta hit it, and I gotta hit it as hard as I can, because, you know, I mean, even if you're a good player, sometimes if you hit it hard enough, you get the lucky bounce, and it goes in. But the more I played, and after my buddy told me, you know, if everybody's chasing the ball, don't go in there chasing it, I started to, what I feel as, develop into a better player. Like you said, know where your teammates are. If you're the one chasing the ball, and if you got a headset on, that's great because you can tell them I'm centering the ball. But, you know, you're the one that hits it, and then, you know, you can start running back to play defense just in case. So it's you start to learn the nuances of how, you know, to play Rocket League. And I know that sounds really stupid to say that, how to play Rocket League, but...
Oh, you definitely can learn how to play Rocket League. I mean, like any game, you can hone your skills so that you're not just a headless jackass running around making your team look bad.
Which there are a few of those online, just running up the walls.
But hey, if you're having fun...
It's all that matters.
I haven't really been playing much. Like I said, after I finished Flipping Death, got the platinum in that. Again, charming game, great art, great visuals, fantastic art style. Very, very charming, very eye-catching. But the dialogue's great. And the game's a lot of fun, too. So like I said, if you can buy Flipping Death or it interests you at all, if you see it and it's like, that looks like an interesting game, I say definitely play it. Haven't really been playing much since then. I have gone back and tried to finish some games. I tried to play through Bold Boy one more time and get the two trophies that glitched on me before. I played through that game 6 or 7 times now and still can't get the trophies after doing the requirements. So I feel like that one, I just deleted the game. It's like, all right, I'm going to accept the fact that I'm going to have 90% of this game and that's the best I can do because I can get the trophies. They're just not going to give them to me.
Or let me suggest, have you tried putting it on the shelf for a while? I mean, I know you deleted it. You can always re-download it. But have you considered, like, you know what? I'm going to put this up for a couple months, 3 months, whatever. And I'm going to come back. I'm going to try again. Sometimes I have found that that works.
I did a rush. Like, I played the game for, like, weeks. I beat it, like, 5 or 6 times trying to get the trophies right off the bat, which is what I always do. Like, I will sit there and play a game over and over again until I get the platinum, and then I'll move on to something else. I stopped playing the game once I started playing Pinstripe, and then I started playing Flipping Death. So I played a couple games in between then, and I did put it on the, maybe for like 3 weeks, I put it on the bench. I said, okay, I don't really have anything to play right now, because I'm waiting for the holidays to, you know, introduce that one thing that I talked about last episode, which I really, really want to play. I really want to open it starting next week, because you know what comes out next week. Smash. But so I haven't had much to play other than games that I've already played and maybe need to clean up some trophies in. Like I said, I've been playing some Overcooked, went back to Starwall a little bit, which I still think has some of the most hard to acclimate to controls I've ever played in a video game. But, you know, I did go back to Bold Boy. I had put it on the shelf for a few weeks. I've done the requirements and, you know, I tweeted at the developer and said, hey, can you give me any tips here? I've looked online. Nothing has worked. And it seems like with a lot of these two trophies, no one can really explain how they got the trophy because a lot of the people say, I got it this way. Well, I got it this way. I got it this way. There's not really a clear answer. So I'm really just not going to bang my head against a wall. I'm not going to waste my time anymore. I've tried and I talked about this before and getting a little trophy fatigue because I don't want to sit there, like, I enjoyed playing Bold Boy, but I didn't need to play it more than once. The fact that I had to play it so much and still didn't get the trophies, it's like, why am I doing that? Like, that's a terrible way to play video games. Because used to be, you know, like, I would try to unlock everything, yes. Or if it's a game that didn't have, like, a lot of characters or something like that to unlock, you know, play it once, get the story, and you're done. But trophies just... I feel like it's partially ruined the gaming experience for me because I don't change the games that I play, but I just hammer away at those games more than I should and really more than is enjoyable just to get trophies. And trophies I feel like are a way for developers to kind of elongate your game experience, make you play for longer, and get you more invested and to, you know, buy certain games you wouldn't necessarily buy because, oh, they have trophies and I can get that platinum. I feel like I'm at the point where I'm done spending 4 weeks grinding, doing the Helldivers grind to get trophies and get a platinum. Because we've talked about it.
6 months.
Yeah, we talked about it. Helldivers has new trophies, and there's no way in hell I'm going back to play that game. So I'm kind of over the grind of it all. The way you play is, you know, we've talked about this before, it's a lot better because you're not grinding through a game in a week, 2 weeks. You're playing it once and then going back to it later. So I kind of just want to play on a system where I can play the game and there are in-game rewards and there are characters to unlock and whatnot, levels, what have you. But I don't want, like, for right now, I don't really want to have to grind through a game 4 times for trophies. If I can get all the trophies in one run, hey, that's great. But if I have to go play a game or, like, I don't really, like, any game that says they have glitch trophies, I'm not even considering buying right now because I just don't want to deal with it.
Totally understand.
So I'm not buying any Bethesda games.
Oh, so you're not getting Fallout 76 then?
Have you seen the reviews for Fallout 76, sir?
I've heard people, no, I haven't seen the reviews, but I've heard people aren't overly pleased with it.
Ashley was actually considering getting it, and the reviews for it are really, really bad. Like,
yeah, they say it's buggy as all get out.
And the reviews are worse than they are for Darksiders 3, which if you're not part of the Facebook group, I gave Tricky a little hell for because he loves Darksiders. He loved the first game, he loved the second game, and he bought, like, the collector's edition with a massive-ass statue for Darksiders 3. But Darksiders 3 is not, it's getting pretty fair reviews. Like, 6 out of 10, that kind of range.
That's not bad. Honestly, a 6 out of 10 is not bad.
And I cannot remember who said it. It was posted in the Trophy Horrors group on the as a comment to the thread that I started about Darksiders 3 and the review scores. He had heard this user that they were trying to turn it less Zelda and more into, like, Bloodborne or Dark Souls, which, I don't know, like, I made a comment too where it's like, you know, maybe they got all the feedback from Darksiders, the original Darksiders, which was a fantastic game and everyone really seemed to like, and everyone said, oh, it's a lot like Zelda, it's Dark Zelda, and then they heard that and they're like, oh, well, we can't have that, we need to get away from that because we don't want to be just another Zelda ripoff. And you start to see them move away from the Zelda-like mechanics and the setup of the dungeons and the progression in Darksiders 2 because it's a lot more, it's less linear and it's more, like, open. But, again, as you may know if you're a long-time listener of Trophy Wars, I didn't really like Darksiders 2 because I felt it was too bloated and it wasn't as, concise is not the right word, tight. It wasn't as tight of an experience, and I don't feel like it's as well-crafted as the original Darksiders. So if they wanted to move away from the structure of the first Darksiders, they've actually made... That's part of the reason that the games feel worse, or they're not as good, because the first one, while yes, they may have taken elements from other games, they also did that really, really well while applying them to their own game. So, you know, it doesn't really shock me that Darksiders 3 is not getting great reviews. It's getting pretty, you know, fair reviews, because if you're moving away from what the first game was and you're trying to say, okay, well, we don't want to be like Zelda, but we're going to be more like Dark Souls and Bloodborne, you're changing. I don't want to say you're changing too much because the Sly Cooper games did that really, really well, and it was a success, but it feels like to me they've lost... The vision for Darksiders has been lost, and it's been changed so much that it's almost like... what am I trying to say? It feels like the vision has been changed simply to get away from the feel of this game is basically just a copy of this game, but with different characters, different story. Like, they want to get away from the fact that the first game was a lot like Zelda. And I think that was a huge mistake.
Yeah, well, there's nothing wrong with being like Zelda. Zelda's amazing. I've never played Darksiders, but a buddy of mine did, and that was his exact, and he didn't play a lot of Zelda, but that was his description of Darksiders was, it's the best Zelda game on the PlayStation.
You know what's amazing, Yield?
What?
You can buy a game, you yourself, bought a game on Cyber Monday that was maybe, what, a few days, maybe a week later, announced as a PlayStation Plus free game for December?
It was like 2 days, maybe a day after I bought it, and all I could do was just kind of just laugh.
So Yule doesn't regret the decision nope. at all, and he got a good deal on it, so we can't really, blame him for not feeling like he got cheated.
Nope, not at all. Not at all.
The game we're talking about is Onrush. The people who did that were also the people who helmed MotorStorm.
Phenomenal game.
Yeah. If you know anything about me or Yield, we really love the MotorStorm games. Difficult as hell to get the trophies, but the games itself were super fun.
It is. I the only platinum in MotorStorm that I got is MotorStorm RC for the Vita and MotorStorm Apocalypse. And that was the last one in the series.
MotorStorm Apocalypse had one of the best ideas for a video game, or a racing game ever.
Oh, I liked it.
Because Split Second had a really great idea, of making the races like a stage movie set, but having races take place during the apocalypse while the world around you is falling in, is just imploding. That's such a fun concept. You want to talk about an adrenaline rush, MotorStorm Apocalypse will give you that.
Oh, yeah. Nothing like having a lead. And, for two laps, you've taken this route. So you're sitting there and you're zipping along and you go to do that route. And all of a sudden, the earth opens up and blocks your path. And you're like, oh, fudge. Which way do I go?
Don't panic. Don't panic. Don't panic. Oh, my God. I'm about to fall into the core of the earth.
Yeah. That was a good game. I really liked it, especially when you were racing on the buildings. Remember those maps?
What is your brain thinking about when you're playing that game? It's like you go from, oh, I have to win this race to, oh my God, I have to stay on the track.
Yeah, pretty much. Don't die.
It's always a good rule of life, especially when you're behind a car, when it's super easy for that to happen.
Oh, yeah.
So Honor Rush is going to be one of the PlayStation Plus free games for December, and I definitely want to play that. I'll be picking that up.
I played the beta, and although it took me a while to understand what I needed to do in the races with each vehicle, because, you were condensed to, I think only a couple of different types of races that you could do, but you could play, three of the five cars. The more I played it, the more I was like, yeah, I like this. I didn't know how I would like the team-based racing. Because most of your, probably 99% of your racing games is drive it like you stole it. Get out front, drive it like you stole it.
I like the idea of team-based things. I grew up playing team-based beat-em-ups with my stepbrother. I've always been more of a cooperative guy, which is why Rocket League is so great. I love being part of a team. So, the idea of being on, part of a racing team, I prefer that to actually the whole, MotorStorm thing, or really, the Blur, Split Second, any racing game, really, of you are this person, everyone around you is out to get you, you against them, go. Go to that line, get there first.
I still like those games, though.
That actually, yeah, they're definitely fun, but it makes me want to play Onrush even more. That it's kind of team-based. It's actually described as gravity-defying, which you and I have defied gravity quite a few times in Rocket League, so we're pros at that. We have PhDs in defying gravity in a fast-ass moving car.
Oh, yeah. This is nothing. You've got this.
So, the other games included as part of PlayStation Plus free games for December. God, December. It's going to be 2019. All right, the next game is Soma from Fictional Games, creators of Amnesia Dark Descent. I don't know much about Soma. This is from the PlayStation blog. I'm going to read you a little snippet. It's an unsettling story about identity, consciousness, and what it means to be human. Delve through locked terminals and secret documents to uncover the truth beneath the ocean waves. I'm going to be honest. I don't really think they did much more to clear up what the game is about. But if you've heard of it, if you want to play it, Soma and Onrush are both going to be part of PlayStation Plus for December, along with Steerdin, Steins Gate, Iconoclast for the PlayStation Vita, as well as Papers, Please for the Vita. That is going to be your lineup for December. Is it next year? When do they start not providing
the free?
Yeah, because there are two. Steered In and Steins Gate are PlayStation 3 games, but when do they start? Is that going to be just next year? Like in January, are they going to start cutting out the PS3 free games?
I thought it was like March.
Okay. So it's very soon.
Yeah, it's right around the corner.
Well, we can all hope that that Rocksteady's next game is around the corner. Rocksteady, of course, made the wonderful Batman Arkham games. They are currently working on a new game, although they have not made any announcements as to what it is. There's been rumors circulating the internet that it's going to be a Superman game, which, I mean, would make sense considering that they helmed projects for DC's other big-name comic book hero in Batman. But Rocksteady has actually said that they are not working on a Superman game, which, you know, not too disappointed in that because I've never been really that interested in Superman. He's like, I know he's like the everyman superhero, but he's like super strong, can fly, like almost superhuman. It's like, I don't know, I've always found Superman kind of boring because I feel like he's just like that prototypical superhero and there's not a lot to him.
You know, as a kid, I grew up watching, you know, the Superman movies, and it was like, you know, oh yeah, Superman's cool. Then you get introduced to the other superheroes, and then you're like, super who?
Yeah, you got like Batman with his dark past, and Magneto, who's like the most like gray area hero, anti-hero ever. You got
Wolverine.
Like, you've got so many great backstories in the comic book world, and it just feels like Superman falls completely flat.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they're not working on a Superman game, and they're really they're not really telling us it wouldn't be a remake of Superman 64. You're not gonna be flying through any rings anytime soon, Yield, so don't worry. If it's actually a Superman game, they'd probably make a good one. But, you know, they're not even really teasing. They basically said once you know what it is, we'll tell you. So we don't know what is coming out from Rocksteady, but obviously, you know, I remember back in the day when they the first review for Batman Arkham Asylum came out. I don't remember the name of the publication, but it was not a big name publication. It was a smaller online publication, a smaller website, and they gave the game like a fantastic score. I think the only negative thing they said about it was that it had to end. And everyone blasted that site, and they said, oh, you got paid, that's not a real review, you're just like a spokesperson for the company, you're basically just shilling for the game. Turns out the game was actually really fucking good.
Really good.
And the review is probably pretty close to accurate. So, by accurate I should say, the kind of consensus on the game. So it's probably pretty close to the consensus scores for the game. Now, so Rocksteady has proven themselves. They've taken a beloved comic book property and made great games surrounding that, based on that, which doesn't really happen a lot because there's a ton of bad X-Men games out there. There's some bad Spider-Man games. Certainly not the Spider-Man game made by Insomniac Games, which everyone seems to love. So really, we got to ask ourselves at this point, what is Rocksteady working on? And really, what we're going to ask is, what do we want Rocksteady to be working on? And Yield, I'm gonna let you go first on this.
Split Second 2? Yeah, okay.
I don't know. I mean, Black Rock Studios sank to the bottom of the sea. They were eaten by a Meg. It was called Disney.
So let's get serious about this. I was gonna go cheap and just say, you know what, I want a new IP. But as you were introducing this and we were talking, one came to me, and I'm gonna say, you know, how about an X-Men game?
You know, I thought about that.
You know, Rocksteady did excellent with Batman, and I mean, and it helped that they got Kevin Conroy and Mark Hamill. I mean, that, as for those of us that grew up with Batman the Animated Series, not only were the games good, but that helped lock it in. if that makes sense. And if you didn't grow up with that, the game was good enough alone to for you to have merit.
I don't know if I would necessarily place X-Men on like the licensing for the kind of prototype I have in my head for the game I'd like to see from them. But we can definitely run with that. It actually might fit very well. I like the idea of almost like a Freedom Fighters, like a beat-em-up where you and two friends, and you know that would actually work really well within the X-Men universe, kind of like an X-Men Legends, like if they want to do some kind of like X-Men Legends successor, to have a multi-person beat-em-up where you could go play cooperative with your friends or online, whatever you want to do. Couch co-op is a must. You have to have couch co-op.
Have to.
But I think that that would be a really good avenue for them. I will say that I love that the fighting engine that they created for the Batman Arkham games.
It felt really fluid, and it wasn't... It was... I want to say difficult. Not really... It was... Difficult might be too hard of a word.
What it did, the best thing it did was that it made you feel like a badass with minimal inputs. You had to react the right way and by the right time, but you basically were pulling off a lot of cool moves, but you weren't doing like a ton of like button combos like you would have to do in a Street Fighter game.
Yeah. Up, down, diagonal, up, triangle, square, L1, R1, go!
Yeah, I like when I was playing Mega Man X and X2 and I was unlocking the Hadouken and the Shoryuken, I could never get it down to do it 100% of the time. I always had trouble. I could maybe do it 50% of the time, 50 to 60%, but I always had trouble doing like the little, using the D-pad and curling it around to do the little movements that they require you to do. The button inputs just gave me a lot of trouble. The one thing I think that would be an issue is that the fighting system that they had in the Batman Arkham games was very focused on one person. As in, you were Batman and you were fighting a group of people. So if they could find a way to make that work with, say, three or four players in a fight, like, I think that would be a game that I would be very interested in, because when you think about it, like, there's not been a lot of really good X-Men games lately.
No. Especially if you could, you know, toss somebody. You know, kind of like double team moves, you know. Whew.
I feel, unless, you know, maybe, you know, I really like the Lego Marvel game that had a ton of X-Men characters in it. But as far as like a straight X-Men game goes.
It's been years.
It's been a long, maybe the X-Men Legend game since we had a quality X-Men game. I know that, what was that Dennis Dyack group, Silicon Knights, didn't they make an X-Men game that was complete garbage?
Oh.
They did Too Human, and then they spat out an X-Men game that was awful.
Probably.
I remember the Wolverine, like, movie-based tie-in game that came out on the 3.
On the 3. I heard that one wasn't hateful.
It was actually, it wasn't bad. It was fun. It wasn't a bad game. Not necessarily an X-Men game, more of a Wolverine game. But I'm struggling to think of a really quality, like, Batman Arkham Asylum style, like, quality game for the X-Men. The X-Men can be part of good games, but, like, an X-Men game specifically, it just doesn't happen very often. So, I don't want to see Rocksteady, like, I'm not interested in DC. I think, aside from Batman, DC, you can just flush it all down the toilet. I know that, despite how cool the Aquaman trailer looks, and it does look very cool, I just don't care about DC. Marvel is where it's at. I think Marvel is fantastic. I think that Rocksteady could do a great job with a team from Marvel. Fantastic Four. I would be less excited about Fantastic Four than X-Men, but I certainly think they could make a good Fantastic Four game. Also, Guardians of the Galaxy. So I think they could do a great game within the Marvel Universe that was team-based and kind of like Freedom Fighters or X-Men Legends, where you had friends that you could go fight through the game. It's just basically like a beat-em-up with like RPG elements where you can level, like loot and level up. Like, I think that would be great because
that would be great.
Their fighting system is fantastic. If they could find a way to implement that into a beat 'em up, God, that'd be great.
Okay, so now that we've covered a couch co-op, a team beat 'em up, what would you like to see in a just a single player?
And a single player, I feel like, okay, well, if they're going to do X-Men, a single player game, they're going to do Wolverine.
There. Okay, well, but let's say they don't do X-Men. So let's say, I said, you know, let's do X-Men, team-based. What would Alex want?
Just a single player?
Yeah, Alex, single player, what would you want?
You know, I'm trying to, it sucks because we said we don't want to just say a new IP, but it's also kind of like easy to say, oh, this comic book property. I think that, to be honest, I mean, a Punisher game from them would be really cool. You know, Luke Cage probably doesn't have the name recognition to make a game off of him, but maybe a Daredevil game? I say that and I'm staring right at the news that Marvel's Daredevil on Netflix has been canceled, and I'm looking at Vincent D'Onofrio, who is a fantastic Wilson Fisk. He looks so upset, as many fans are. But I feel like I don't want to do just a Wolverine or another Spider-Man or something like that. And I'm sure Rocksteady, after what Insomniac did, wouldn't want to follow with a Spider-Man.
No, they wouldn't. They would. I almost feel they would do something out of left field, like when Batman. When they announced Batman, everybody was like, what? There hasn't been a good Batman game in years.
See, we're talking about, you ask about a solo game, but my mind is stuck on teams because I just thought of the Defenders have, you know, Iron Fist and Luke Cage and Daredevil and Jessica Jones. But, I don't know, as far as a singular hero in the Marvel Universe, I mean, I don't necessarily want to see a Thor game.
No.
I mean, a Black Panther game? I mean, the movie just came out. They're going to be making Black Panther movies after Avengers 4, so, I mean, he would be a hot property, but I don't know. Spider-Man has a lot of name recognition, and when you think of, like, the big superheroes, like, I feel like he's up there with Batman. But everyone else I just mentioned, you wouldn't put them in the same tier as Batman.
No.
So, I don't really know. And that's part of, and one of the things that made Batman so great is because the Batman universe has so many good villains, and they're all insane, and they're all fun to fight, and they're all very different. And I don't know if anything in Marvel outside of a team-based unit, like, say, the X-Men, has that.
You've got, man, we may have boxed ourselves into a corner on this one.
And we can get out of that corner by teaming up in a co-op beat-em-up and just bashing our way out of it.
That's true.
Boom, 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 boom.
Combo!
And if they made a beat-em-up, it would probably be my favorite beat-em-up since, say, Castle Crashers, because that was one of my favorites. It's a really, really good game. I love Castle Crashers.
I enjoyed it.
Nice implementation of the RPG elements. I still remember wanting that game because it was exclusive to the Xbox for so long. The 360, I should say. On Xbox Live Arcade, and I remember wanting to play it so badly, and I waited so long, and they finally announced it, and I was so happy, and I bought it for the PlayStation 3, and I just played the shit out of it. The Blue Knight, of course. I'm a Blue Knight guy, because I love blue. I'm from Kentucky. I'm a UK fan. Give me a break.
Yeah.
All right, well, that is going to bring us to the end of our topics. We didn't really have a big show this week. We just kind of want to get on here and chat at each other for a moment. You know, pick a topic and, you know, discuss it. So before we get out of here, though, we're going to bring you your regularly scheduled episode, your weekly episode of Sophie's Trophies with Sid. Before we get out of here, we're going to toss it across the pond and say hello to the man. He should really be the man, the myth, and the legend because he's got more platinums than anybody.
It's kind of hard. You've got it trademarked.
Yeah, because Tricky. It's all Tricky's fault. Take it away, Sid.
Hey, guys. How are we all? Sid again with Sophie's Trophies. I think this is 56. I could be wrong, guys. It's going to be a little different this week, guys. I'm not going to talk about a game. I'm going to be honest with you. I have been a bit down with trophies at the moment. Having only a PlayStation, and also being involved with trophy halls and everything like that means I have been chasing platinums, I have been chasing trophies for the better part of 7 years or whatever it is. And just lately, guys, I am a bit down on them. I've been having a discussion with Alex. He feels the same. And I've been having a break from them. I have a new phone, and also I have downloaded some emulators, Mega Drive, the original PlayStation, SNES, Game Boy Advance, that kind of thing. And I have been playing those. And I have to say, it's been a breath of fresh air. So basically, guys, this recording, I know it's not what you're used to, but you know what? Sometimes, guys, I just have to let you know, it's good to take a break. You know, I'm still playing on the PlayStation 4. I'm still involved with Trophy Horse. I'm just having a little bit of a relaxing time at the moment. You know, not worrying about platinums, not worrying about trophies. That said, I did buy Titanfall 2 for £3.99. So that could be the game to get me back into the spirit of things. I'm not going to quit Trophy Halls or anything like that. So, you know, anybody who thinks that I might, I am not going to do that. This is just basically a Sophie's Trophies to say, you know what, guys, sometimes it's okay to just sit back, relax, and enjoy a game for a game. So, yeah, a little message for you guys. So, that's it from me this week, guys. Next week, we'll be back to normal, to be honest. I will be back playing games, I do believe. So, you know, we shall see how things go. So, yeah, just a bit of advice, guys. If you ever get burnt out, just do something different for a bit. That is the message for this week, I have to say. But I couldn't not record anything at all, to be honest. So, as always, Sidders 1978 on the PSN. At Sidney on the Twitter. Sid at Proving Gamer on the email or through the Trophy Horse Facebook group. So that's it from me this week, guys. I know it's not what I normally do, but you know what? Sometimes I just feel the need to just get stuff off my chest, and I'm getting this off my chest because I just needed a bit of a break to play something different and not have to worry about trophies. So I will be back refreshed and raring to go next week. So take it easy, guys, and keep getting those trophies. Bye.
And we're back, and that episode of Sophie's Trophies is going to bring us to our housekeeping and the end of the show. You know what that means? It means we're going to clean this shit up.
Get out the brooms.
As always, we are looking for some talented people to join our crew. Writers, podcasters, video editors, and news reporters, we are talking to you. If you have talent in any one of those areas, please go to the front page of provinggamer.com and click the Help Wanted tab, and Tricky will get back to you once you have finished all of the necessary requirements and he's had a chance to look over them. If you do like Trophy Horrors, go to provinggamer.com to check out our articles, and also go check out our channel on Twitch TV. The channel address is twitch.tv/provengamer. Remember when I couldn't say backslash? There we go. There it is again. You remember when I couldn't say backslash to save my life?
Yeah, I do.
Backsplash everywhere.
Backsplashes. Oh, it's good times.
No. No, it wasn't. It was terrible. Because
I laughed.
Yes, you did. Because I was tripping over words and was getting very frustrated when I was saying backsplash instead of backslash. We're past those days. I've progressed.
You've moved on.
Yes. If you'd like to get in contact with us and tell me how and make fun of how many words I stumble over, you can reach us on Twitter at Proven Gamer. You can also reach me as at Sondasaurus Rex, Steven at Batchild27. You can reach Sid at Sidderney, and you can reach, I believe, I'm going to spell Sid's out. I believe it's SIDDERNEY. All one word. Yield is at I Yield to No One, because he likes to keep it nice and easy. Tricky as well, at Tricky Mick. If you want to reach us by email, Twitter's not your thing, I get it. You want to speak in more than 140 letters. 140 characters, there we go. Email us at trophyhorse@provengamer.com. You can also contact us at our phone number. Yield, that phone number is
330-PROVEN9, 330-776-8369.
I always have you do that because I want to hear somebody like know it from memory. I don't want to just read it off. It feels cheap and tawdry. I don't want to just read it off the agenda. And you do it so much better.
Thank you.
Especially when you include like your William Shatner pauses in there.
Yeah, it is nice. I like to change it up.
We know you like to change it up, and you know you don't always want to hear about PlayStation. Sometimes you want to hear about Nintendo, and you can get that on the Nintendo Dual Screens. Or if you want to listen to a more general gaming podcast, not quite as specialized, focuses on a little bit more, you can listen to the Game Stuff podcast. Where can you get our podcasts? Well, you obviously got it from somewhere if you're listening to this. If you're looking for different ways to listen, you can listen on the Apple Podcast, which is formerly iTunes. You can listen on Stitcher, various podcast apps, Google Play, TuneIn, and you can listen to Nintendo Dual Screens and Trophy Horse on iHeartRadio as well as Spotify. Thank you very much to our listeners for helping us get on both iHeartRadio and Spotify. That's huge for both Nintendo Dual Screens and Trophy Horse. So thank you all very, very much. Yield, why don't you tell us about our PlayStation 4 communities, because you run with them. You run one of them.
So I have a PlayStation 4 community called the Platinum Guild, where you can post your latest platinum, brag about it, ask for help. You know, it's kind of a small community right now. If you'd like to be a part of it, hit me up. I'll let you in. All you got to do is knock.
You know, sometimes small communities are great, because once you get more and more people in there, you start letting the wolves in.
That is true. The site has one, Proven Gamers. The Trophy Horse has one called T-Dub's Brothel, because first off, the horse hang out at a brothel. Otherwise, it would just be weird. But we can't call it Trophy Horse because Shuhei won't let us say horse, no matter how you try. Can't abbreviate it, can't asterisk it, can't space it out. We've tried.
He's not having any of our nonsense, not even in Rocket League.
No, we even tried Rocket League. That didn't work. Disappointing.
Disappointing. Disappointing, unlike our sponsors, who are awesome. So, we know you shop on Amazon, especially this time of the year, when why would you want to go to a store and fight all the crowds when you can just go to Amazon and do all your holiday shopping, have it shipped to you, most likely for free, and if you're on Amazon Prime, you know, have free two-day shipping or whatever they're offering. Strap it to a jet plane and have you to you in an hour at this point.
Here come the drones!
Yeah. We'll literally have a giant slingshot your package to you. It'll be there in 5 seconds. Get ready. So if you shop on Amazon, before you go to Amazon.com, come to ProvenGamer.com. There is a link to Amazon on our front page. Click that. It'll take you right to Amazon. I know it's an extra step, but we would really appreciate it because it helps us with site fees. So we would appreciate if you would take that one little step. It'll get you right to Amazon, and you can buy all your things, all your electronics, all your clothes, your music, your who's it, your what's the dizzles, anything you want on Amazon.com.
What's the dizzles?
Yes.
I like that.
It sounds like a candy bar, I'll tell you that. And a delicious one at that. It would probably have nougat. I want to say marshmallow, but would that be weird? Like a, instead of like a Fluffernutter sandwich, like a Fluffernutter bar.
That even sounds weird.
I'm like a, doing the show notes, I'm like a little child with like a little plastic hammer that's trying to hammer the star piece into the circular hole. It's not going to work, damn it. But perseverance. And perseverance definitely could be one of the underlying themes of Extra Life. If you don't know what Extra Life is, it is an annual gaming charity event. We had our most recent one here on November 3rd. It's usually at the end of October, early November. So it's an annual gaming charity event run to benefit the Children's Miracle Network of Hospitals. It comes every year. We don't actually know what the date is for next year, but once we do, we will let you all know. If you need more information or you want to sign up early to play next year, if you're already signed up, you can actually still continue to earn more money for this year until the very end of the year, until we get into New Year in 2019. But go to extra-life.org to set up a team to play solo or to join a team. Proven Gamer has a team every year, and you're welcome to join that. From there, you're going to pick a Children's Miracle Network hospital to represent, and you're just going to get the word out after that. You're going to tell your friends, your family, your coworkers. You're going to say, hey, I'm playing an Extra Life next year, and I want you to support my 24-hour marathon with a donation. A sponsorship, really. And the most important thing you need to tell people is that 100% of their donation goes to the Children's Miracle Network Hospital that you have opted to represent. The motto for Extra Life is play games, heal kids, and there's really no better example of a win-win situation in this world than that. You play games, you also help out some sick kids. It's great. It's great.
It's awesome.
So we're looking forward to Extra Life news, hopefully soon, very soon. They're usually really good about picking out the date. They give people a lot of heads up advance, so hopefully within the next few months we'll find out what the date for next year is. We are also very, very proud to be part of the Humble Bundle. That's right. Trophy Whores and Proven Gamer have a partnership with Humble Bundle. And if you don't know what Humble Bundle is, it is another charity initiative which developers and basically bundle. They have bundles of games that you can purchase. You can name your price for those. If you want to spend $2 on it, you can. If you want to spend $10 on it, you can. The money goes to charity, and generally the more money you spend, the more you get. You can unlock extra games as part of a bundle. You can unlock art. You can unlock soundtracks. So the more you pay, you can get a lot of extra goodies. And in a lot of cases, you can get anywhere between 6 to 8 games. So even if you pay $20, which again does go to charity, even if you pay $20, you're still getting a lot of games for a great price. So, if you feel the need to pay $2, you can. If you feel the need to pay $20, you can. So, as always, we have the link to our Humble Bundle page in the description of the show. I always put it in there. But if you want to learn more about Humble Bundle, you can always go to humblebundle.com. They made it easy on us, Yield. Bless them.
Yes. Anything easy is good.
So, folks, we need to get out of here for the night and get Yield off to bed because he is working early tomorrow. Before we leave, though, we're
2:30 in the morning comes really early. 2:30 in the morning is made for going to bed, not getting up and going to work.
6:30 in the morning comes really early, too, and that's 4 hours after.
It is, and that's when I normally get up to go to work, and I'd much rather do that.
2:30 is when we shut off our Rocket League, not get up for work.
Exactly.
So, Yield, what are your shout-outs for this week?
So, my shout-outs go to you, the Pimps and the Madams of the Whoredom. Thank you for listening, downloading, interacting with us. Shout-out to Alex for hosting this week and putting together this fine episode. A shout-out to Sid, always awesomes with awesomes. I just made a new word. Always awesome with Sophie's Trophies. A shout-out to Tricky and Steven, even though they are MIA. Alex and I, the dynamic duo of podcasting, is holding it down. A shout out to my Buckeyes for winning the Big Ten championship. That's it. Peace out. I'm done. Shout outs. Drop mic.
Well, I want a second Yield on in thanking our listeners first and foremost, because you guys are the fuel to the fire of this Trophy Whores. Without you all, without our audience, without our listeners, without our community, Trophy Whores and Proven Gamer are really nothing. So you guys are the driving force behind the show, behind the website, everything. And we truly appreciate you more than we can convey in shoutouts. So please just know that we shout out to you all first every week and say thank you to you all every week, because your time and your attention means everything to us. So thank you all very much for helping us get to this point and beyond. I hope that the IGN fellas aren't listening to that and they don't sue us for infringement. Even though, you know, people have been on the show before. Tricky, I believe, and even you, Yield, just screaming beyond.
Beyond!
We're sued. That's just happened. I also want to give a shout out to Tricky, Troy, Sid, as well as Steven, who could not be here tonight, but me and Yield are holding down the fort, so you're welcome, fellas.
My back's starting to hurt.
Also want to give a shout out to MotorStorm, MotorStorm Pacific Rift, and MotorStorm Apocalypse, which, you know, in the early days of the PlayStation 3, everyone's like, there's only Resistance. I don't want to play anything but Resistance. And I'm like, hey bro, MotorStorm's pretty fun. So I want to give a shout out to those games and Evolution Studios, who the people behind all of those games. All very fun. Also, and lastly, most importantly, I want to give a shout out to my loving girlfriend, Ashley, who was wonderful and made tacos tonight and filled my belly with tacos so I could come up here and sit and chit-chat on the podcast lines with Yield. We can make the squigglies go squiggly.
Mmm, tacos.
And, you know, Ashley actually We've been playing Pokemon Go the last couple days because it's been a community day for December, and kind of an amalgamation of all the community days from the early parts of this year. And Ashley got a shiny Charmander, and I did not. So I got the pleasure of seeing her evolve to a shiny black Charizard while I was like, I ain't got shit. I didn't get a shiny Charmander.
Shenanigans!
No, it actually, before the event started, Ashley was like, you know what I want? I want to get a shiny Charmander, and I don't want you to get one. And that's actually what happened. Joking, obviously, but it's actually what happened. So it's like, it's funny, because all the shinies that I wanted during the event, Dratini, Charmander, Bulbasaur, didn't find any of those. But I guess I should be grateful that I did find some shinies. Mareeps, Lavatars, Beldum, thrown in there. So, yes, I definitely want to thank Ashley for going along with me and playing Pokemon Go, because I've gotten sucked in that game quite a bit, and I haven't played Pokemon since Red and Blue, and, yeah, I mean, like, I'm getting to meet all and learn about all these new Pokemon, but, like, I've just kind of got that fever of wanting to catch everything, you know, as the tagline says, catch them all, and I'm definitely at the completionist that I am. I definitely want to get all of them and the best Pokemon that there ever are and become the best Pokemon trainer, so I definitely want to say I love you, Ashley, and thank you for putting up with my nonsense when I need to go out and put little creatures in balls. And you know.
Wow, that didn't sound right.
Oh, no, it sounded perfectly right, Yield.
Oh, okay.
That's how the game is played. You know, let's not even, like, touch upon this. Well, we can also point out that it's essentially, like, Nintendo, like, cockfighting. Because you do keep these little Pokemon trapped and you train them, and then you have them fight other Pokemon. I'm all for it. I'm not for cockfighting, but I'm totally for Pokemon as a video game.
That escalated quickly.
I don't want to see, like, little Machops fighting little Makuhitas. I don't want to see that. Not in real life. In the video game world, it's totally okay.
Totally.
Because in the video game world, you can play Grand Theft Auto and you can beat up hookers and police officers and no one's going to arrest you. You do that in real life and you're in some serious fucking trouble.
Yeah.
Before we get out of here, Yield, have you played any more of Red Dead?
No, I've been meaning to restart it, but with all this overtime, I haven't had the time to restart it.
It's kind of a hard game to get into while you're working a lot.
It is, because it's one of them games where you want to, you know, you don't just want to pop in and out for an hour, at least not starting out. You want to have a good couple, 2 or 3 hours. And
you want to sit there until 2:30 in the morning playing some Red Dead.
Playing Red Dead, then go to bed, not get up and go to work.
Well, it's probably best that you don't do that, because that's when you have to be up tomorrow to be at work.
Yeah. So
that is going to be our episode. This is episode 369 of Trophy Whores. And yeah, we're going to get out of here. Thank you all for listening. And as always, happy trophy hunting.
Later.
Yield, we'll do the 5 seconds of silence.
I'll try to count at 3 this time.
You mind observing the silence? Save your last words, then riddle me this. Save your last words. Save your last words, then riddle me this. 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 The theme song is Venus by the band Even off their album Zenith. Permission granted by the band and 12 Stone Records. You can find them on Facebook by going to www.facebook.com/evenphilippines.